Thanks for the prayer. Hey, everybody. We've been going through a series looking at Philippians, this letter that you might have in front of you now. And we're going to look at chapter 3, and I'm going to have Sally read in just a second. But I want to remind us who it is that Paul writes to, because he writes a letter. And I want to point out just a couple places in the passage right in front of you. So in and he says brothers and sisters three times in the text we're looking at tonight, in verse 13 of chapter 3, in verse 17, and at the very first verse of chapter 4. So he's talking to brothers and sisters, not just that, but people that he dearly loves. He calls them his dear friends in verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, "You, my dear friends, whom I love and I long for." So this is who Paul writes to. All right, so Philippians chapter 3, Sally's going to read for us now.
Right, starting at verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends."
All right. Thank you, Sally. So just a recap of the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks back when we listened to Jen's talk, we heard that Paul is telling people to be different. And so that's what we got that week. And then the very next week, Tim shared, know Jesus. There's nothing greater, no greater joy than that of knowing Jesus. And I think if I could sum up tonight's kind of message from Paul and what we've just heard in just a few words, I would sum it up like this. I would say, look where you're going. That's what I would say. Look where you're going. In four words, that's kind of the talk for tonight. So let's get started. In verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this." And you may be thinking, well, all of what? You know, what is it that is his goal? Well, look back a couple of verses in chapter 3 at verses 10 and 11, right before what we read tonight. "I want to know Christ." Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So that's his goal. He says, "I want to know Christ and I want to become like him." In fact, take just a minute and compare what we just read, 10 and 11, to the last few verses that Sally just read, verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Notice the similarities and the connections between these two texts. "We eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's like, I want to know Christ, who by the power, there's that word again, that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's like the resurrection from the dead. And that word power, that it shows up twice in both of those, the beginning and the end, that's that word, it really actually means dynamite. But it's not the kind of dynamite that explodes things. It's an ordered kind of power. Do you see that? It's the kind of power that enables him to bring things under his control. So Paul says, you know, "Not that I've already attained my goal. I haven't got it all sorted out yet." That's in verse 12. And remember now, this is the great Apostle Paul that's saying this. You know, he started chapter 3 with a list of his spiritual achievements. And then he said, you know what? They don't really count for anything compared to that of knowing Christ. And now here he is saying, I'm not even finished with that. So that's good news for those of us who are still works in progress, eh? So that's so Paul says in verse 12, the second half, I haven't arrived at my goal yet, and so I press on. And he uses that phrase, press on, in verse 12 and in verse 14. It literally means I pursue. It actually means I pursue and I persecute. And again, this is Paul. Remember when he was by the name of Saul, he was a man who knew how to pursue and persecute. He was going hard after something, and it was to persecute the church. He mentions that in the beginning of chapter 3. So he says, I press on, I pursue, and I press on. So press on for what? He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Well, what's he saying? He's saying, I want to know Jesus and become like him. That's the prize. And then he continues in verse 13, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on. So a friend of mine recently pointed out that there's a reason that the windscreen of a car is about 100 times larger than the rear view mirror that's right in front of you. And of course, when you're driving a car, that's, you know, what's behind you is really important, but it's not nearly as important as what you see coming at you, what's ahead of you. You know, getting stuck looking behind can be a distraction. And that got me thinking, where do we look behind us in faith? Maybe you get stuck in the guilt and the shame of past sin and you can't move beyond it. Maybe you get focused on the list of all the times that you've been hurt or wronged by people. Maybe you get, you know, Paul says, I some of that needs to just be left behind and forgotten. And here's the thing, looking behind us doesn't always mean looking back at the bad stuff. Some of us get thinking about all the good stuff that's behind us instead of ahead of us. Do you ever find yourself doing that? You made a confession of faith once like 30 years ago. Isn't that all there is? Or how about this one? You read through your Bible once, so why read it again? Or maybe this one. You had a powerful encounter with Jesus once at a youth event, so isn't that enough? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. But see, that would be as foolish as saying that because I made my wedding vows to Pam nearly 20 years ago, that I'm now done with the daily work of being married. Weren't the vows good enough? I promised I would love her and be loyal to her on our wedding day. What more does she want? But Paul says, no way. I'm forgetting all that stuff. It's fading in the rearview mirror. I'm looking down the road and I'm pointed like a laser at what's ahead. So instead, I press on for Christ. Just listen to the sense of direction there at the end of verse 14. Listen to the motion that's just in the sentence that Paul writes. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me where? Heavenward in Christ Jesus. In fact, that's the flow of this whole part of Paul's letter, from Christ's suffering and death in verse 10 to his return in verse 20, and the transformation of our lowly bodies when we will be fully like him. That's the direction that Paul's pointed. Living out his faith between the events of the cross and the final return of Jesus. And guess what? That's where we live too. We live today between the events of the cross and the glorious future of our heavenly home in Christ. And so look where you're going and press on for the prize. That's what Paul writes. You know, it's elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes this. And he's quoting portions of Isaiah. He says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love him. That sounds like a pretty amazing prize, doesn't it? So Paul says, that's where I'm going. That's my direction of travel. Okay, so I have a little illustration to show you. I'm going to try and share a screen here. Bear with me. This is my stunning visual. Let's see. How about this? Can everyone see that? All right, so has anyone seen this before? You might have flown to Spain and walked the Camino de Santiago to see a similarly shaped arrow pointing the way to Santiago. It's a Spanish city where the spiritual pilgrimage that many go on comes to an end. It's got that kind of shell shape or the arrow. All along the trail for days, if you walk it, arrows like this kind of point the way, one direction of traffic. It's a symbol of spiritual pilgrimage. But this photo, I just want to show you. Let's see if I can get to it now. Anybody seen any of these lately? This photo was taken at our local Tesco, and it keeps people socially distanced but moving in the right direction. And now you've got to get to the dairy aisle, you've got to flow and follow the arrows in one direction all the way through all the other aisles first. So gone are the days of free flow about the grocery store like Pac-Man hunting for his power pellets. Here's the point of the illustration. And think of this passage whenever you see an arrow like this during this week. Just sometime this week when you see it, think of this passage. Be clear about your direction of travel. Know where you're going. Forget what lies behind you. Keep moving forward. Press on for heaven, or in the case of Tesco, move towards the till. All right, so let's move on. So press on for Christ. That's the first point. Press on for Christ, who is the prize, and then look where you're going. Okay, and you might be thinking, okay, but how do I do that? And here's the turning point in the text that we're looking at now, where Paul doesn't just talk about himself anymore, straining for the prize. He says, look, all of us, verse 15, should be about this together. And he shifts from I, me language to us, we language. And so if you're doing this kind of stuff, you're going to be mature, Paul says. This is how we grow and change. And he adds, if you don't see it this way, don't give up. Just keep going. God will grow you into maturity as you make every effort to live out what you believe. So first point, press on for Christ. And that brings me to my second point, look up to Christ. And I don't mean look up to Christ like he's up in the sky somewhere, but I do mean that when we fix our eyes on the prize, we fix our eyes on heaven in two ways. The real and present availability of the kingdom of heaven today, all around us, particularly in and amongst our church family. And second, the coming return of Jesus and our future hope as citizens of his forever kingdom. Now, I know I just said a lot of words, so I'm going to say those ones again, okay? The real, when we fix our eyes on Christ for the prize, we're focusing on the real and present availability of the kingdom of heaven today, all around us, particularly in and amongst our church family. And we're focused on the coming return of Jesus and our future hope as citizens of his forever kingdom. So look at verse 17. Join together, Paul says, in following my example, brothers and sisters, and keep your eyes on those who live as we do. While you're running the race to win the prize, keep pace with the people around you who are running to win. So for as long as I've been a follower of Jesus, I've had the benefit of a few brothers and sisters around me who've inspired me, who've encouraged me, they've challenged me, and they've challenged me to know Jesus and to follow him more. One of them is my wife, so thank you to Pam. Lots of them are my interchange missionary friends and colleagues around the world. Some of you are gathered here tonight, or you're listening to the audio later on. You know who you are. That's actually been one of the heartaches that I've had during this kind of lockdown season, especially when we're told to stay home and when we couldn't meet up with anybody. I love learning from people in our fellowship, and I've missed seeing in person how you're pursuing Jesus because I find that so inspiring and challenging. Man, I love it when we're sharing that stuff in the WhatsApp group and my Whitechapel patch. You know, keep that good stuff coming. But while I'm on this point, let me say something about my fellow church leaders here at Good Shepherd Mission, since we're currently considering nominations to the leadership team, okay? I think it's safe to say that, like Paul, none of us on the team has arrived yet. I know that's a shocking revelation, but it's true. I think I can say, and the leadership team would say with me, that like Paul, I am not the finished product yet, that none of us has it sorted out. But we each do try to press on to take hold of the one who always finishes what he begins. And here's my second point about your GSM leaders. This is a team that is doing our level best to know Jesus and to follow him. And we are in it to win it. And we're in it to win it together. And so though I hesitate to say follow our example, I will say we are hungry for more of heaven on earth. And we want you to be in the race with us, whether that's on the team or not on the team, okay? I think we're gonna hear some more testimonies later on about people who've been models and examples to us in the faith. And so look, Paul also warns about the people not to pay attention to. Look at verses 18 and 19. He warns against the people going in the opposite direction. Instead of being citizens of heaven, their destiny is destruction. That's verse 19. So here's a top tip for life, okay? If you're going to run hard for something, link up with people who aren't running towards destruction. Okay, it's just a suggestion. You know, what are they like? Paul says they're controlled by their appetites. They're seeking their own self-satisfaction. They've got right and wrong turned inside out and backwards. And their focus is on the wrong place, is in the wrong place. Watch out for people like that. Don't look to them. Definitely don't run with them. Instead, Paul says, look to people who have also made it their aim to know Jesus and to become more like him. Paul says, get your mind out of the gutter and find friends and in the family of God who will help you look up and follow Christ. So that's Paul's message here in four words. Look where you're going. And Paul means it too. He wants it for his dear friends in the church. He says, sometimes I pray this for, and I've repeated myself to you because you're my friends, but I say it with tears. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, stand firm in the Lord in this way. And here's what Paul means by stand firm, which ironically is not as stationary as it might sound. Stand firm in the Lord, press on for Christ. That's what he's saying, who is the prize. And stand firm in this way. Look up to Christ and look to others who are following him. Because Jesus isn't just the prize. He's the path that leads us to the prize. Okay, so just in a couple more minutes, I'd like to apply this to three types of people that came to mind this week as I was thinking and praying about this. Maybe you're one of them tonight, okay? Number one, maybe you're just bored. And I don't mean bored with this talk. I hope not. But I mean bored in general. You know, some of you, I spoke to you about this a few months before lockdown even. You had a good thing going once in your faith, maybe way back, but now you just feel kind of bored by it all. And if that's you, Paul writes, press on, take some risks. Live up to what you've already believed and learn from others how to grow and mature. If you're bored, press on for more. And let me remind you, like Paul does, your citizenship is in heaven. So yeah, you're not there yet, but you know what? That doesn't mean that life here on earth is just the waiting room. Who likes waiting rooms? I recently remembered that my U.S. passport expires like 6 days from now. And as far as I can tell, there is no way to even renew it in person at the moment. But do you know what? Even though I'll be living in England on an expired passport, my citizenship is not in jeopardy. I'll still have most of the rights and privileges of American citizenship, like voting in the presidential election later this year, regardless of my country of residence or the date on my passport. Paul says that right now our citizenship is in heaven. Now, he says it, not later. Paul says we already have the rights and privileges that come with heavenly citizenship in this life for this life. That's what Christ obtained for us by his death on the cross and by his victory over death in his resurrection. So if you're a bored follower of Jesus, what on earth are you doing with your heavenly citizenship now? That's what I want to ask. There's another kind of person that might be thinking tonight, just tell me what to do. You know, I don't want to have to figure it all out. And you know, look, Paul doesn't give that to us here, does he? I think that's really intentional. He does not hand down a new law. In fact, he writes to warn about people who do that earlier in chapter 3. So here's what he does say. He says, look to Christ. Learn from others. Try to do what they're doing. Follow their example. Here's the point. Try things. Keep going. Don't get caught in analysis paralysis. Don't obsess about the picture in the rearview mirror. Join up with others and press on to know Jesus and to follow him more. Okay, don't wait for someone else to tell you what to do or how to do it. Join up with others. Try stuff. See what happens. That's part of the goal with Sunday morning mission equipping calls that we've been doing. And I've been so encouraged by the lockdown increase in our small groups, you know, Bob groups meeting together, home groups meeting up together, prayer groups that have just kind of sprouted up and kept going. I love that. And then the third kind of person I've thought of for the application tonight is just the ones of us that are just weary and kind of tired of it all. This is exactly, you know, it's different than being bored, I would say that. You might just be tired of church stuff. Maybe you're tired of lockdown, you know, can I get an amen? Maybe you're tired of Zoom. Maybe you're just tired in your faith of doing the same things over and over again and getting nowhere. And Paul's word to you is that we don't have to wait passively. Did you see that in verse 20? We can eagerly await the return of Jesus because we can fully expect and hope for that total transformation of these lowly bodies now to be like his glorious body in heaven. How many of us are eagerly awaiting something right now? Maybe you're waiting for school to start again or to stop. Maybe you're waiting for pubs to reopen. Maybe you're eagerly awaiting the chance to travel again, or you're waiting for your wedding day to roll around. Right now, we've got this 9-month-old puppy who, at the sight of any one of us putting our shoes on or the slightest jingle of our keys, she lays down at the front door. She whimpers a little bit and just stares at you with these cute puppy dog black eyes. And she doesn't even know if she's going for a walk or not, but man, is she eagerly awaiting. Friends, are we like that for heaven? For the tired and the weary, what would actively, eagerly awaiting Christ's return look like in your life this week? And finally, let me just apply this to all of us, specifically in this pandemic season. I've come to believe more and more that God has given us this time of hardship. It's such an unusual season, but I've begun to see it as a gift. So here's the question. What are you doing with it? Is your discipleship on pause for smoother sailing, or are you pressing on? Are you going hard after Christ with others in our body, or are you just living day by day, controlled by your appetites? Are you living like a citizen of heaven who just can't wait to get in an even more taste of who Jesus is into your life today? Or are you living like a citizen of England who just can't wait for things to go back to normal? Because what if normal is in the rearview mirror? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you have given us citizenship in heaven, and that Jesus pressed on to endure the cross for our sake, that he took hold of us by faith, and Father, that we can follow in his footsteps. Father, thank you for the gift of your body that inspires and encourages and challenges us. Lord, would you make us a people here in East London that press on for you, that know you, that follow you, that go together, and that anticipate heaven today in all that we do and say with one another, for your name's sake and for your glory. Make it so. Amen.